And thank you, Kenzo, for today's installment of Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. This is WFMU's RNC Remix, broadcasting only on the web until Thursday night at midnight. We had a change in schedule here on the RNC Remix, and for the next 50 minutes or so, Scott's going to bring us a subversive comedy special in place of Bronwyn's Marshall Music Special, which was originally broadcast. At 3 o'clock today, we bring you the audio from another movie, this one called Orwell Spins in His Grave, about modern media management. And then at 5 o'clock, in place of the interactive W, because the president had to cancel on us, unfortunately, we will bring you excerpts from the audio book by James Bamford, Pretext for War, which concerns the fabrication of the military intelligence evidence which led America to war. Now we go up to Studio B for Scott. Take it away.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
There's a lot of badness in the world today. I see it in court every day. I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it, but I owed it to them. The most important decision you can make right now is, what do you stand for? Goodness or badness? Some people simply do not belong.
Because all you of Earth are idiots. What are you people? On dope?
You see? Your stupid minds. Stupid! Stupid!
We did not come here as enemies. We came only with friendly intentions. To talk.
Booyah!
I think you're some kind of deviated prevert. And that you were organizing some kind of mutiny of preverts.
Don't say it's a fine morning or I'll shoot you.
Get a fucking haircut. Look like your motherfucking monkey, cocksucker. We're forming a fucking government.
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks.
Look. I done dimmed it out of my house.
I want rustlers, cutthroats, murderers, bounty hunters, desperados, mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, vipers, vipers, con men, Indian agents, Mexican bandits, muggers, buggerers, bushwhackers, horn swagglers, horse thieves, fool dykes, train robbers, bank robbers, ass kickers, fish kickers, and Methodists!
Cheap, lying, no good, rotten, fart flushing, low life, snake licking, dirt eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood sucking, dog kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat ass, bug eyed, stiff legged, spotty lipped, worm headed sack of monkey.
Stuck up, snot nosed, English, giant, twerp, scumbag, hoop beast, shithead, asshole.
There is no God.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid.
You know, I'm getting real sick of hearing this shit from fucking Major and from Bush. Oh, we sold them mechanical parts that we didn't know they were turning into weapons. Mechanical farming equipment. What kind of fucking farming equipment? Well, there was the flame-throwing rake. No, the whole thing was you rake the leaves and then you just turn them. Fucking Iraqians did. They said, look, we can burn people too with that. We had no idea they would see that possibility. And we gave them some drills to drill for oil. Well, they were drills, and what kind of drills? Well, they're giant long tubes that shoot this metal thing with gunpowder that you put towards the earth. A bullet that goes into the earth and hits oil. But you know what those wacky fucking Iraqians did? You're not gonna believe this. They turned it sideways! It was like a cannon! I can't pull the wool over those Iraqi eyes. There were some, you know, plutonium wrenches and stuff. some plutonium wrenches. Well, plutonium and a mold, four wrenches. They didn't use them together, though. Apparently, they went to the nuclear program. And they had a lice problem, so some mustard gas, which apparently we sent them more than the required amount. It can kill people. And lice. I mean, it was for that reason. Unfucking believable. I wondered about that during the Persian Gulf War, those intelligence reports coming in. Oh, Iraq, incredible weapons. Incredible weapons. How do you know that? Well, we looked at the receipt. But as soon as that check clears, we're going in. What time is the bank open? 8? We're going in at 9. God and country and democracy and whatever other little fucking symbol y'all need to get your ass motivated behind this thing. Look, he killed a dog. Let's go! Look, he's raping dogs and children. Come on! He's a Hitler! He's a Hitler. Come on! He's on the Wales rugby team.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. In fact, I think it is awesome.
Hey there. How you doing, America? I hope you're enjoying the freedoms and liberties that we as Americans enjoy. As you well know, ever since I took office, well, things have been really, really bad.
Cut!
That seemed like a good one.
No, you said bad instead of good.
Oh, I'm just finding my groove. I'm getting my groove on. As they say, bow, 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 bow. Ever since I've joined office, things have really, really, really gotten good. Hey, Hollywood, what do you think looks better? How's this? Well, if I go with both, I'll go with the giant shovel and the little tiny thing. However, there are certain liberal agitators out there who'd like you to believe that my administration's not doing such a good job. Of course, these are people such as Howard Stern, Richard Clark, and the news. Is that thing going to be back there the whole time? There's people out there that would like you to believe the economy isn't doing so well. Well, to that I answer, hey, for the 2 million jobs we've lost, that means there's 2 million unemployed people sitting at home watching repeats of quality television, such as The Jeffersons or Facts of Life. And that just equals more ad revenue to radio and TV stations.
Cut.
What do you mean, cut?
That's not what was written.
Well, then you can do it yourself.
Reloading, Mr. President.
Oh, I didn't see you there. You caught me mending my fences, one of the many things I do here on the ranch. Some of my detractors would like you to think that I'm not a friend of the environment. Well, that's just absolutely wrong. Nothing could be more further from the truth.
Good Lord, that's chilling. Those things are about 2 feet away.
Oh, my God. And lastly, I'd like to bring to light a terrible thing that liberals are trying to do to you. They're trying to encourage people to vote.
We're moving on.
Mr. President, we're rolling.
Organizations such as ACT are trying to encourage people to get out there and vote. Which is just wrong. I mean, ever since this country was founded 1,000 years ago. So stick with Bushy. And don't vote. And don't listen to liberals or Democrats or other Republicans that make fun of me. Or read the news or watch the news except for Fox. Thank you. And God bless. I'll use this weapon on that devil horse if I have to.
President, they're just horses. It's okay.
God, they're so fast. They look like they could strike at any moment.
It's a horse. It's a very friendly horse.
You sure it's not a bear or a puma?
I can assure you they're very friendly.
Someone call Dick Cheney. Get him down here. Help! Help!
My friends, in the light of present day developments, let me say right away that I do not regard existing conditions lightly. On the contrary, I have always regarded them as subjects of the gravest responsibility, and shall ever continue to do so. Indeed, I will even go further and state quite categorically that I am more than sensible of the definition of the precise issues which are at this very moment concerning us all. We must build, but we must build surely. Let me say just this. If any part of what I am saying is challenged, then I am more than ready to meet such a challenge. For I have no doubt whatsoever that whatever I may have said in the past, or what I am saying now, is the exact, literal, and absolute truth as to the state of the case. I put it to you that this is not the time for vague promises of better things to come.
Good.
For if I were to convey to you a spirit of false optimism, then I should be neither fair to you nor true to myself. But does this mean, I hear you cry, that we can no longer look forward to the future that is to come? Certainly not.
What about the workers?
What about the workers indeed, sir? Grasp, I beseech you, with both hands. I'm so sorry, I beg your pardon, madam. The opportunities that are offered. Let us assume a bold front and go forward together. Let us carry the fight against ignorance to the far corners of the earth. Because it is a fight which concerns us all. And now finally, my friends, in conclusion, let me say just this.
Janet Jackson has now apologized for the incident in which one of her breasts was bared for a moment when she was singing with Justin Timberlake. In a statement she released late last night, she said it was a last-minute stunt that didn't work out right. The decision to have a costume reveal at the end of my halftime show performance was made after final rehearsals. MTV was completely unaware of it. It is not my intention that it go as far as I did. I apologize to anyone offended, including the audience, MTV, CBS, and the NFL. She went on to say. And of course, Howard Dean had to weigh in. After all, he is a presidential candidate. And he says that he dismissed as silly the government inquiry into whether indecency rules were. But, you know, there's nothing silly about it. Parents have the right to turn on their television sets, the people own the airwaves, and not worry about it the next moment if these guys are going to be bumping, grinding, pounding, spanking, and exposing. You know, if they want to let it, you know, free reign like that, then fine, just let us know so that we can cancel all our subscriptions to cable and cancel our subscriptions and get our TVs out of our house, and we'll just all work on, you know, or come up with some software that we only put on channels that promise not to do it. I mean, that's all we want. We'd like to raise our kids in the comfort of our home without being inundated every single solitary second. That's it. It's really that simple, and if people want to go down this road, then there are going to be alternative choices made available to parents with technological advancements, and we will have the ability to make the choices we deem that are right. And it's all part of a bigger societal decline anyway, which is what all that we discussed yesterday, and I don't really feel the need to repeat myself. I mean, does anyone really think it's somehow society benefits from any of the music you hear, be it heavy metal or rap or any of this garbage? I look at the average person. Sweet Baby James, remember the other day we were driving and we were pulled up next to this girl, and the girl was And the car is vibrating. And my car next to it is vibrating. And first of all, I've lost some hearing because of the headphones that I wear over the years. But nothing serious, just, you know, just a little nerve damage stuff. And I'm thinking, what an idiot. And I'm like, so I said to Sweet Baby James, roll down the mirror. And I, you know, I'm like saying, hey man, can you like put that up? It's really cool. I just can't hear it. And what does the person do? Sure, I'll put it up, dude. You know, look, think back to the music we used to think was cool when we were young. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, real profound song, isn't it? Whole Lot of Love. Oh yeah, we're getting a lot. It's like you're embarrassed at some of the music that you used to think was so cool and hip. These kids are going to grow up and they're going to look back at the fact that they like P. Diddy and Nelly the Crotch Grabber and the rest of these guys. It's stupid. It's idiotic. That's what's going to happen. But I want to tell you, between everything else, society, you don't raise people's consciousness anymore. I mean, there is, you know, people are craving some truth in their lives. I'm telling you, people need it. They're craving it. They're not even getting it in most churches anymore because churches are so darn politically correct. But there is, I mean, look at all the conflict and suffering out there. Isn't it bizarre? Why do so many, I was watching a report on one of the news channels this morning about I was watching it on ABC, Good Morning America. And I think they did a report on Prozac for kids and all these drugs for kids. Dr. Timothy Johnson was on with Diane Sawyer. And I'm watching this, why are our kids depressed? And don't start with it's all chemically induced stuff because I'm going to burst a blood vessel and I'm going to need Prozac. I'm going to be depressed. You know, we have everything. Everything's working out well. And we have more opportunity, more hope. You know, when I think of my parents' generation, my grandparents, they didn't have the luxury to be depressed and sit around. It's like if they heard all this today, they'd be bouncing their heads all against the wall getting depressed. It's ridiculous. You know, we're not happy. We drink ourselves silly. We drug ourselves numb. We gamble ourselves, sex ourselves. And it's like people aren't happy. All of this outside stimulation is not filling up an area in one's soul that makes people happy. Otherwise, people wouldn't be so miserable. They wouldn't need sleep medicine, happy pills, anxiety-free pills, whatever else everyone's taking. We are a dysfunctional society in large part because we have lost contact with a certain element of the human psyche known as a soul and a conscience. And that is clearly not being appealed to by the pop culture, by the mainstream culture. We have souls, ladies and gentlemen. We have an innate ability to sense right and wrong. And when we go against that incredible, innate, silent voice of conscience, there will be conflict in people's souls. And there's going to be a need to sort of stop the burning of that conflict. And hence, people seek outside sources of stimulation and happiness. But it will never, ever duplicate or replicate or fill the need of the real thing. And that is something there's no psychiatrist or psychologist that can... I don't know. I'm telling you, isn't that true? It's absolutely true. You want to be happy? Well, start listening to that little quiet voice within you. You know, but everything is geared towards the bump and grind. Everything is geared towards more sexuality at younger ages. Everything is geared to pull people away from that inner voice within themselves. And if you live that way, you're considered odd, peculiar, strange, bizarre in the real world. And I don't know where this rant came from. It just came.
My dick is so big, it has its own dick, and even my dick's dick is bigger than your dick.
My dick is so big, I use the Eiffel Tower as a French tickler.
My dick is so big, you can't blow me without a ladder.
My dick is so big, I could wear it as a tie if I wasn't so afraid of getting a hard-on and killing myself.
My dick is so big, it has a personal trainer.
My dick is so big, it takes four fat women and a team of Clydesdales to jerk me off.
My dick is so big that right now it's in the other room fixing us drinks.
My dick is so big. My dick is so big they use a bullet train to test my condoms.
My dick is so big it's against the law for me to fuck without protective headgear.
My dick is so big I use a hula hoop as a cock ring.
My dick is so big Stephen Hawking has a theory about it.
My dick is so big we use it at parties as a limbo pole.
The inside of my dick contains billions and billions of stars.
My dick is so big it has its own Wheaties box.
My dick is so big it has a basement.
My dick is so big the city had to carve a hole in the middle of it so cars could get through.
My dick is so big movie theaters now serve popcorn in small, medium, large, and my dick.
If you cut my dick in two, you can tell how old I am.
My dick is so big it has its own page in the Sierra Club calendar.
My dick is so big Trump owns it.
So I was in Las Vegas, and I was at the New York casino, and while I was there, I started wondering, do you think on September 11th that the people who worked at the New York casino felt it a little deeper? You think? I bet some did. I bet some did. Now, you know, because there's always those people, you've worked with them a dozen times, you know, those people who, you know, like, create their own identity by co-opting other people's pain. You know, that's how they're the person who cares about, you know, it's usually some, you know, overweight woman in accounts receivable, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, Patty with the fucking, you know, hunky fireman calendar and the... You know, the Dilbert cartoons and, you know, just that, you know, tons of gay friends and just like, perfect night for me is curling up with my books, my Grishams, and I'm just lighting Yankee candles and taking a bath and have it... thing a chunky monkey and just softly crying myself to sleep. Anyway, you know, but those, they're always, you know, the people, like some fucking kid falls down a well in Nova Scotia and they're fucking freaking out about it and they're like, what is happening, the boy in the well, you know, a guy just got stabbed to death two blocks away but there's a boy in a well, you know. And but you know, they're still telling that story. You know there are people that work there who are still telling that story to this day who just can't... I will never forget that. That day was so horrible for me. I'll never forget it. As you know, I work at the fake Mulberry Street Pizza. It's like 100 feet from the fake World Trade Center. I just think if I had been there, that could have been almost me, not me. Oh, God. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
So what else happened, man? I'm over in fucking England, and Bush fucking loses. Must have been a secret. It must have been a Secret Service plot to keep me out of the country the night he lost. Protect Bush, you know, his eardrums from shattering when I shrieked with fucking laughter. He's dead, it's dead, the Republican beast is fucking dead. 12 years of that rampaging Republican fucking elephant beast finally brought to its knees. Yes, you're dead, you fucker, you fuck, you're dead. We hate you, now do you know it, now do you feel it? Feel the fucking hate. Feel it. Call off your dogs. Call your little Vietnamese pot-bellied Rush Limbaugh back to your fold, you demon fuck. Bring Pat Buchanan back. Call him back. You're lost. Finally, that Republican beast elephant brought to its fucking knees. Because I feel like me and my friends and all the artists in the fucking country were like little pygmy tribes shooting darts at that elephant for 12 years. And finally... do our little pygmy dance.
George. George.
And here we are, winding our way through a week of Republican shenanigans in New York City. Across the river here in Jersey City, WFMU, Gags on the Elephant. Today, with mirth, laughter, jokes, fun comedy, till 3 o'clock. My name's Scott. And that's what we've been hearing. George likes to hear his name. Bill Hicks. A lot of Bill Hicks material we're going to be enjoying. The Elephant is Dead, right there. Just a short piece from Bill Hicks from the magical WFMU MP3 library. And through the magic of streaming-only radio, we can play this stuff. Bill Hicks is almost entirely unairable on the radio, but not here. David Cross, likewise. We heard a fantastic David Cross bit called 9/11 in Las Vegas. And David Cross is going to be Ken's guest tomorrow on the stream only. I think it's at 2 o'clock. I'm going to check for you right here on the internet. Let's see. Tomorrow, Thursday, David Cross is Ken's guest on an FCC unfriendly discussion of music, comedy, and politics. That's 2 p.m. only on this stream, the Republican National Convention stream. Yeah, 2 to 5 p.m. David Cross will be here live talking to Ken, playing music, maybe talking to George. Before David Cross, we heard dick jokes. Because nothing tickles a town descended upon by elephants than jokes about whose dick is bigger. Mine or Kelly's. Kelly Jones and myself. Trading the dick barbs. Sean Hannity, prior to that, with a very funny piece. Something to do with, I guess, morality and Janet Jackson's nipple and people being depressed and, what do you got to be depressed about? We're rich, we're in America, we're young and something like that. It was very, very funny. Sean Hannity, oh God, this guy's a card. Peter Sellers, before Sean Hannity, with a wonderful little piece called Party Political Broadcast. We heard a really fantastic thing being spread round the net these days. Will Ferrell as George W. Before Will Ferrell, we heard Bill Hicks some more. Oh, and we've got more Bill Hicks coming right up. Bill Hicks with a really great piece called Wacky Iraqians. Now, Bill Hicks has been dead since, I think, 1994? 1993 or 1994. So, of course, it was a different Iraq war he was talking about, but so many points addressed that still resonate. I've heard people using that that joke about, how do you know Saddam has weapons of mass destruction? Because we looked at the receipt. I've heard that so many times by people who think they that's something new. Yeah, I know. Nobody was more amused than you, right? when you found it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was cute. Oh, there was a little Bush bash at the top of the set with the Marquise providing the instrumental music to a string of movie sound bites that sounded funny to me, all led off by Ted Knight from his role in Caddyshack. Okay, so listen, as I promised, more Bill Hicks coming right up. I bring you Bill Hicks discussing politics in America. Stay tuned.
What about Clinton? Is there any hope in Clinton? There's no fucking hope in that guy. They're all the same. I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control. Here's Love Connection. Watch this and get fat and stupid. By the way, keep drinking beer, you fucking morons.
Bum, bum, bum.
You're a great crowd. I can either get off now or do Mom and Dad. No. I'd rather do Elmer Dinkley for 2 hours straight. No. I've got material planned. I didn't say I'd take a fucking request. Okay? I said if you wanted to hear it, I'd stay. If this is fucking, I'm not a jukebox.
Shove a quarter up his ass and tell him to do Elmer Dinkley again.
Oh! I'm in this small town, and it's so small that I called up Elmer Dinkley's house. Hey, we're supposed to get 2 plays on a quarter.
What the fuck am I talking about?
This world, man. Before I go, I gotta tell you about the world that I see. And it's sad sometimes. You ever realize that we live in a world where good men are murdered and mediocre hacks thrive? You ever notice that? John Kennedy murdered. Gandhi murdered. Martin Luther King murdered. Jesus murdered. Reagan wounded. Cancer 8 times. Now that fucker still walks, doesn't he? That guy is Jason, man. You could take off that hockey mask just once. You're going to find, well, I'm back. People love him. Love him. Every fact points that he's a liar, corporate puppet, devil, cock-sucking fascist. Every fact points to that. Not one fact to the opposite. But what happens?
We love you, Ronnie. 4 more years. 4 more years.
Let's put him on Mount Rushmore. Let's put him under Mount Rushmore. They love him. How far up your ass does this guy's dick have to be before you realize he's fucking you, man? People are just, I like him. I don't know what it is. He looks good on TV. He brought back patriotism. God damn it, he's a good American. Hold it, something's slapping my ass. Oh my God, he's fucking us! Well, Nancy and I feel that. Man, you might know, as John Wayne once told me, that. Man, you might remember as Jimmy Stewart. Well, shut the fuck up. You answer a question like a man, you fucking lying B-actor dickweed, Mr. President, sir. And all due respect. Now we got his little incubus underling, Georgie Bush, in there. Boy, when they said anybody in America could grow up to be president, I didn't know what the fuck that meant until this year. Anybody. A body of water. A dead body. Who does Shell want in there? Who does Diet Coke want as president? That's what it is. Fuck. And Danny Quayle. You don't see much of Danny Quayle, do you, boy? They got that little bootlicker under wraps. There's been more sightings of Elvis. Man, they got that little Nazi in a hamper somewhere. You won, Dan. Now stay in the fucking box. I want to come out and buy missiles. Stay in the box.
We're stretching public belief factor real thin with you, dude. But hey, Three's Company was on the air 10 years. We'll make it work. They will make it work, too. You're already reacting like that, aren't you? You're already doing it. I can see it. You're already going, you know that Danny Quayle? God damn it, he's all right. So what if he's a military hawk who avoided service? You know, he looks just like Robert Redford. Remember that bullshit? Robert Redford look-alike. Yeah, well, Robert Redford doesn't look like a hairless pink ferret, so. Yeah. Little fucking Nazi. Thank you.
I was over in Australia, and I was like, are you proud to be an American? I was like, oh, I don't know. I didn't have a lot to do with it, you know. My parents fucked there. That's about all. I was in the spirit realm at that time. So I went, fucking Paris. Fucking Paris. But they couldn't hear me because I didn't have a mouth. A spirit without lungs or a mouth or vocal cords. They fucked here. Okay, I'm proud. I hate patriotism. I can't stand it, man. It makes me fucking sick. It's around the world last time I checked, okay? You know what I mean? I hate patriotism. In fact, that's how we can stop patriotism, I think. Instead of putting stars and stripes on our flags, we should put pictures of our parents fucking. Gather people around that flag and see your dad hunched over your mom's big 4x4 butt. See if any boon rally mentality can circle around that little fucking image. God damn, I'm out of here. Fuck it. You got your mom? Shut up. Let's go garden.
I remember President Bush coming here on September 14th, 2001, and lifting the morale of our rescue workers by talking with them and embracing them and staying with them much longer than was planned. If you promise to keep this between us, because if I could get in trouble for this, but I get in trouble all the time. I was mayor of New York. It's my opinion that when President Bush came here on September 14th, 2001, the Secret Service was not really happy about his remaining in the area so long. With buildings that were still unstable, with fires raging below ground at 2,000 degrees or more, there was good reason for their concern. Well, the President remained there, and he talked to everyone, to the firefighters, to the police officers, the healthcare workers, the clergy. But the people that I believe, this is my opinion now from observing it, the people who spent the most time with him were our construction workers. Now, New York construction workers are very special people. I'm sure this is true all over America where you come from, but I know the ones in New York really well. And they were real heroes that day, like many others. But I gotta tell you, they're big. They're really big. They have arms that are bigger than my legs. And they have opinions that are bigger than their arms. So every time the president would go up to one of them, they would hold his hand a little bit longer, and they would give him advice. I think like his cabinet, Mr. Vice President, gives him advice. They would tell him in their own language exactly what he should do with the terrorists. I remember President Bush coming here on September 14th, 2001. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
More comedy music from Rudy Giuliani. Oh, here we have comedy music from the 1988 Democratic National Convention.
The most powerful man in the world is also mortal. We know this all too well in America. One in five American vice presidents has had to rise to the duties of commander-in-chief. One in five has had to take on the responsibilities for the most...
In recent days, there's been a good deal of discussion about who bears the responsibility for the terrible activities that took place at Abu Ghraib prison.
Whoops!
The most powerful man in the world is also mortal. We know this all too well in America. One in five American vice presidents has had to rise to the duties of commander-in-chief. One in five has had to take on the responsibilities for the most powerful office in the world. For this job, after 5 months of reflection, George Bush made his personal choice, J. Danforth Quayle. Hopefully, we will never know how great a lapse of judgment that really was.
In recent days, there's been a good deal of discussion about who bears the responsibility for the terrible activities that took place at Abu Ghraib prison. These events occurred on my watch. As Secretary of Defense, I am accountable for them, and I take full responsibility for them. It's my obligation to evaluate what happened, to make sure that those who have committed wrongdoing are brought to justice, and to make changes as needed to see that it doesn't happen again. I feel terrible about what happened to these Iraqi detainees. They're human beings. They were in U.S. custody. Our country had an obligation to treat them right, to treat them as human beings. We didn't do that. That was wrong. So to those Iraqis who were mistreated by the members of the U.S. Armed Forces, I offer my deepest apology. It was inconsistent with the values of our nation. It was un-American. We take this very seriously. It's important for the American people and the world to know that while these terrible acts were perpetrated by a small number of the military, they were also brought to light by the honorable and very responsible actions of other military personnel. This was not some sort of a news media discovery.
The national anthem of this country, the Star Spangled Banner, is going to have to be rewritten very soon. Nobody sings it on the way to work anymore. Remember the good old days? You'd pass a guy going to work. Oh, say, can you see? Hello, Dr. Brady. They don't do that. What's the fair way to rewrite this kind of a song? By the way, you people here, you really can't see during this bit, can you? Because the piano. Those are the goon seats. You'll find a picture and a resume under the seat. Read along. Let me update it. Put down riding and swimming, okay? What's the fair way to rewrite a song like that, a national song? Do you hire the country's most popular songwriter, what, Burt Bacharach? Let him do it? That's not fair. No, why? Let one hire a professional? You wouldn't want that song anyway. Hey, no place. It's got trees, it's got mountains. I think the fair way to rewrite the song is to hold open auditions. Put a piano, put a good piano, let everyone sound good, in a building in Washington, get a panel of judges, and hold auditions for the new national anthem. So let's go to Washington to those auditions now. Not literally, of course. I meant comedically. Listen, I said last night I said that, and 30 people went out in the alley and waited for like a bus to take them, and of course there was no bus there, and I felt like a fool. All right, please be quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of you. We got to get through it. Please be quiet. Very quickly, sit down at the piano, state your name, where you're from, play your song, all right? Don't give us any titles. Please be quiet. Don't give us any titles. We'll call them all the anthem. If we like it, we'll get your title from you later, okay? State your name, where you're from, play your song. We'll stop you when we've heard enough. Let's go quickly. You're first.
First?
Ted Rutherford, Dallas, Texas. To boast. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. My name is Leroy Williams. I'm from any ghetto you choose. You jail all your black. Thank you. Hal Carter, I lived the last 75 years in Michigan. I was born there at 75 years old. While we stand here waiting for the ball game to start, let's give thanks for our home and our two-car garage. Let's give thanks for TV. Thank you. Let's give thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Kid, stand over there, kids. All right. Hi. I'm Lee. And the kids here to my left are the Anthemites. And we're from Sarasota, Florida. Ready? Ooh, I like the USA. Ooh, ooh, I like the USA. It's better than Russia or China. Ooh, it's better than Yugoslavia. Lights be changed at all? All right, it's not important. Before I sing my song, I should tell you a bit about myself. My name is Mr. Robert Bob Harmon, and I currently live and work in the very exciting city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. I'm an entertainer. And you know, Vegas is a great place, an exciting place, but originally I'm from a much quieter place. A place up north, out west, a place I call Portland. What a great place it is. In one 30-square-mile radius, there's more to do than almost anywhere in the world. There's hunting and fishing and boating and camping. Get on with it! I am. It's how I get into it in the actor. It's got beautiful waterfalls and gorgeous trees, but you know, it's part of a bigger place. It's part of a country. Can you guess which country it is? No, it's not Denmark or Poland or Sweden or Rome. Get on with it! It's a lovely place I call home. I'm proud to say I've got a country. Got a country. I spell it A-M-E-R-I-C-A. Get off the stage! Thank you.
Comedy.
Comedy music.
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy...
Zany, wacky comedy music from Albert Brooks, right there. 1973 record called Comedy Minus One that was rewriting the national anthem. And, well, it's almost time for Orwell Rolls in His Grave, the audio movie, but not quite time yet. It actually runs a little bit short, so we're going to be airing that at about 3:20. So about 15 more minutes of comedy. We've got some Fire Sign Theater stuff, some great stuff. Papoon for President, we'll be airing some of that. Probably a little bit more David Cross, a little bit more Bill Hicks. My name's Scott Still here. Spinning the comedy records for you until 3:20 when the documentary, Orwell Rolls in His Grave, documentary by Robert Kane Pappas, which exposes how the news we depend on has been poisoned by Orwellian newspeak. So, yeah, stick around for that, too. That should be an additional laugh riot. And right now, a little bit of stuff from the Firesign Theater's Papoon for President. This is called Thank You, Mr. President.
What a wonderful supper. Cold baked jelly beans, cottage cheese, remorse salad, wasted opportunity pie. I've got to take a wicked shit.
Son of a bitch! Which one of you crazy bastards made that fabulous dessert? That baked Hiroshima was a blast!
Don't thank me, Mr. President. I didn't have a fucking thing to do with it. It was Ike did the desserts, or maybe Lyndon.
Lyndon, that's the one!
Ah, God's gonads, Mr. President. That dessert weren't nothing. It was my special Agent Orange sauce what made the difference.
Well, hell's bells. It was the goddamn licious. Hey, let's all get soused. What do you say, huh? Let's have some highballs. Franklin, what do you... Oh, for God's sake, Franklin's still asleep. Are we going to have to wait till he sleeps through his fourth term before we can have some goddamn highballs around here? Franklin!
Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, are we going to watch television?
No, we're not going to watch television, Mr. President. We're going to have some goddamn highballs, and then... I think we should all play Frisbee with Queen Reagan's new china set. What do you say?
I am a bit disappointed. I thought we were going to watch television.
Shit. There's nothing on. They canceled the fucking football game. Shit.
At ease, Mammy Jammers. It sure has been a lot more relaxed around the White House. Ever since Ronnie went down to Con the Coons in Cancun and took that mega bitch of a ball-busted wife of his with him.
I'll drink to that.
Oh, God's nether parts, Harry. You'll drink to anything.
Yes. Oh, I like it here so much better. I certainly do like you, Mr. President. Yes, you tried to win a war.
Oh, shit on a stick, Franklin. You started one.
But, Mr. President, I dropped the goddamn bomb.
You really gave him hell, Harry, son.
If you can't stand the heat, stay out of Nagasaki.
You know, Mr. President, I've been thinking. I've been wondering, have you got the fucking TV guide?
We're not going to watch TV, Mr. President. We're going to get soused on some highballs, and hey, maybe later you and I could play the piano. Do you know chopsticks?
I make very few personal friends. I'm a lonely man.
No. It's really very simple. You just jam the chopsticks up under your fingernails and bang away on the keys. All these chink tunes sound the same to me, huh?
I never did like him.
Which one?
The little one with the hat. Me.
Yes, he never would have been president if it hadn't been for my heart.
And that hot, horny, humping little honeycomb in the hot springs, Franklin.
Say, Mr. President.
Yes?
Confidentially.
Yes?
Have we eaten dinner yet?
Well, I sure as hell have. Excuse me, Mr. President, but I gotta go to the crapper. So long.
Oh. God damn, I love the smell of fresh napalm in the morning.
Yes. Like mustard gas and dead horse hair.
Yeah, makes me hungry just to think of it. Well, I'm going to pour some of my secret barbecue sauce on my pecker and get all ready for Lady Bird. Hey, Lady Bird, standing tall for you. Coming, baby. Sue.
You know what I like? Ask me.
Oh, well, what do you like?
Big legs.
Ah, I had big legs once.
Big old nylon stocking, big old heels, and big old legs. I remember so much. It comes rushing back at me. I remember how there used to be something to eat late at night in the White House. Damn, that Ike could make great military industrial tarts. And that woman in Ehrlichman's office, the one with the flat top and the humongous tits. The rest of it may as well have been a dream. Merely a dream. And all the men and women merely fucking players. Strutting and fretting their fucking hour about the stage.
Chow, Dick.
I've already eaten.
Go to hell, Harry.
All the way, LBJ.
Come on, Lady Bird, let's hump in my library.
Oh, yes. Well, now that we're alone, Rona, and you too, Tom. Good morning, Jane. And Willard. Yes, there's a story I've always wanted to tell you, Rona, about the time that I was in Yalta with Uncle Joe. Well, all Joe wanted to talk about was the bomb. But what I wanted was his recipe for borscht. Now, here it is. First, you take a few beets from the peasants. Then you throw in a handful of reds. And you stir them around real good. Now that's a wonderful supper.
Speaking of Satan, I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Doesn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? Am I the only one? Can't you see his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard. I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one who sees that, or I'm not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. I'm so proud of that little dark poetry there. I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I just immediately thought of Rush.
Oh, good. Yeah.
The last time I was here, I was putting together a CD, and it was at the end of August, early September, and then September 11th happened, and then... There goes the fucking CD. You know, it's a national tragedy. It is a national tragedy. We all know it's a national tragedy. You know, unless you're a fucking deaf and dumb pig, you know that. But I don't give a shit. Everybody in this country, as soon as it happened, everyone had that little moment where they went, oh, well, that really fucks up my plans. Everybody did it. Don't have that little whining Christian shit going, okay? No, not me. Bullshit. Even the Christian was going, oh, I won't be able to read to the blind woman. Fuck. Amazing how just, you know, boop, that's gone. Nope, can't talk. Can't say that about the president. No. 20 minutes on Cheney. Bye. Bye. And don't give me that ha-ha-ha. I met him the other night. I met Dick Cheney. Okay? He's a ho-ho-ho. I've never stood that close to evil. Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yes.
And your Republican bullshit nonsense.
Yes.
Everybody's, oh, you got to get behind your president. Well, yeah. That's a given, asshole. That's a fucking given for all of us. We're going to get behind the president. We're at war. What are we going to do? Yep, that's the deal. I'm behind him. It's not like I got a choice between him and Yosemite Sam.
Okay.
It's all about loving your country. Of course I love my country. What other country could I stand up here and say this shit?
That's great. That's
September 11th, well, it was just certainly through. People started calling me up. I had more phone calls about my stand-up comedy than I've ever had in my whole life. USA Today called me. USA Today. USA Today, who was never, ever, ever. They didn't call me up for a subscription.
Oh, good.
It's like 3 days after September 11th, they called me up. I said, what the fuck are you talking to me for? How stupid are you? Talk to somebody who fucking knows shit. What are you talking to a comic for? What the fuck? Well, we're interested in what comics are doing. It's 3 days after. Explain to me what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Get some experts. Get some other experts.
Exactly.
Get all the fucking experts.
Yeah.
You can wait a week till you talk to the assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're really interested in what you're going to do now. Well, now you're interested in what I'm going to do. You weren't interested in what I was doing before, shithead. I'm a topical comic. What do you think's going to happen? I'm going to, what do I do? Appear on stage with a sock puppet?
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, this is Gigi. She's a lot of fun.
Hi.
Probably talk to her for a couple of minutes and then, hey, you want to blow me? Yeah. And that would be it. That'd have been my show. What do you think? Good idea?
Okay.
People go, well, he wasn't as funny as he used to be, but he's distracting.
Yeah.
So here's the second part to that story about seeing the electric scissors ad. I saw the ad for electric scissors during an episode of The Simple Life, which is a show that glorifies these two rich giggling cunts who have no respect for anybody. This vile people, awful human beings, and you know, get away with everything because they're rich, you know. And then the blonde one will blow you, apparently. But that's, you know. But here's the thing: I saw that ad for electric scissors during one of the highest-rated shows in America about these two rich, fucking mean pieces of shit, and I vowed that I'm going to retain that image every time I hear George Bush go, "The terrorists hate our freedom." You know what? I hate our freedom.
You understand that.
Me, little old me, I'm an American. I fucking hate it. That's all we've done with it? We're fucking assholes, man.
We
are awful.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. The terrorists hate our freedom.
Okay.
Terrorists hate liberty.
Oh, good. Yeah.
They hate freedom.
Yeah.
They're freedom haters. We're freedom lovers.
Why do you say that now? Let's be careful about that.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know, he's always like whispering that. Like, we're freedom lovers.
Yeah.
They're freedom haters.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell Canada. And seriously, if the terrorists hated freedom, then the Netherlands would be fucking dust, you know? As would Denmark and Sweden and Switzerland and New Zealand and Canada and every other country that's truly freer than we are.
Okay.
But it's true. And I don't think Osama bin Laden sent those planes in to attack us because he hated our freedom. I think he did it because of our support for Israel and our ties with the Saudi family and all our military bases in Saudi Arabia. You know why I think that? Because that's what he fucking said. Are we a nation of six-year-olds? Answer, yes. God damn it. Why did the bad man put the plane in the building?
I say he hated freedom.
No, because I went to the NexusLexis database and there's over 1,400 articles that actually explain why.
He hated freedom. Have a cookie. Have a cookie. Get him in the backyard. Show him the outdoor pool. All right.
That brings to a close today's little comedy hour and 10 minutes. David Cross on those freedom-hating terrorists right there. We also heard some stuff from Lewis Black. We also heard some stuff from Bill Hicks, of course. really nasty stuff from Bill Hicks. You also heard in there some stuff from the Fire Sign Theater's Papoon for President. Stay tuned now. Coming up, the audio movie. What's the name? Orwell Rolls in His Grave. Stay tuned for that. And keep listening to WFMU's continuing coverage of the Republican National Convention. Joe.